Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you.
My company is, he is each and every Tuesday and Friday on the program. He's the host of VSiN's College Football Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. local time. You can see him on VSiN Primetime. Download the VSiN Watch app. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
What's up, man? How we doing?
Man, we're putting one foot in front of the other. Now I don't feel like I've ever been more behind on the NBA draft.
Yeah, it's a good thing that I'm hosting a show tomorrow night on VSiN for 4 hours.
Good, because we're gonna NBA pick draft. Your brain during hour number two.
No. I'm with you, man. I'm still doing my homework, but I agree, man. And yeah, we'll see how this one plays out. Pretty interesting story today around a potential top 10 pick that might be a bit of a red flag.
How big of a red flag? Because, you know, my rule, if you don't have red flags, I got red flags.
You know, missing a playoff game in the German League Finals to go to the NBA draft seems like a bit of a red flag to me.
I think it shows commitment to the NBA. Commitment to the association. So we're going to talk about that during our number two. Let's start by we got coming up. I want to get Tim's thoughts because Tim was getting frustrated with me on Friday when I was trying to set the expectation low for Game 7. I think you owe me an apology. So we will, of course, start there. I want to also discuss, we know how college football has a scheduling problem because the coaches tell us. Does the NBA have a scheduling problem? Like, just in terms of, I feel like this is the shortest, right? We've turned the clock from the finals to the draft.
I mean, we hadn't had a game 7 in 9 years.
That's so true.
That's probably
we've also
why
added the
so
two.
Quick.
Well, and the 2 days. I also have a take. I don't like Wednesday drafts.
You're a Thursday draft guy. Look, I know they're in need of content, but we don't need a full day for the second round.
Oh no, I think they worked themselves into this. They wanted to have the Bronny day, and now they've just made it into a thing.
Yeah, I mean, the second round of the NFL draft, a little different than the second round of the NBA draft. But, hey, shoot your shot, ESPN and
yeah.
The NBA.
Yeah, I've never been like, you know what, we got to lock in here. So we'll discuss that. Then I've got an exercise that I want to discuss with Tim. So for next segment, I looked at last year's 12 playoff teams. I think it's fair to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the teams thought they were going to be there and were there. Maybe in a different spot than they expected, but they thought they were going to be there. Then I have kind of two teams in Tennessee and Clemson that had, they were on the bubble. Would you agree? Like starting the season, I think Tennessee was preseason 15th, but Tennessee was in that category. I felt like slightly behind Ole Miss, but you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like a super long shot to be there.
I would say Clemson always expects to win the ACC. So in their minds, they probably were expecting to be in the playoff. And the Tennessee one, I think that was that's a tough one because, you know, they weren't that far removed from being number one in the country when Hendon Hooker was there. But I'll listen to your point on that one. I'm not saying you're
okay.
Crazy.
And so then we also have, I would classify basically three teams that came out of nowhere. Now, obviously, Arizona State, for me, like, okay, yes, the winner of the Big 12, like, that's another thing I can't wait to go through. We have forgotten how hilarious the Big 12's preseason poll was. Like, you want to talk about, like, just an exercise in, holy, how did we get all of this wrong? It's pretty funny. But I want to go through, who are the 3 to 4 teams that you have your eye on that could come out of nowhere this year, whether it be schedule, because I think, like, for Indiana, that's obviously, that was a big part of their story.
Sure.
For SMU, I think it was probably overlooking the fact that that league's not very good, and SMU had a very well-funded roster. And then with Boise's always the tough one because it's like Boise kind of expected to be there.
Oh, Boise expected to be there.
Yeah. So
they weren't surprising. I think when you think about surprises, Indiana and Arizona State, by far the biggest surprises a year ago. SMU, you know, I think because we're in the here and the now, SMU was a team that I wouldn't say people expected to make the playoff, but they were very over popular win total. Their schedule, similar to Indiana, was very manageable. They did not play, if I remember correctly, Clemson or Miami.
I believe that's correct.
In the regular season, or Florida State. Not that.
Well, that would have been a good. No, they killed Florida State, I think.
Did they? Okay, I couldn't remember. But they, yes, they did. Florida State went there, right? I think that's what.
Yeah, because I feel like you and I were in that mode of we were trying to talk ourselves into taking all the points, and then we just were like, we can't do that.
So the two shockers, no doubt, Arizona State and Indiana. Indiana, I believe, was as long as 200-1. To make the playoff in the summer months. And then you looked at the schedule, and look, I had an over 5.5 win ticket, and I'll never have an easier win total in my life, but did I think they would run the table outside of the Ohio State game? No.
Not often you have a over 5.5 and you get it week 6.
Yeah.
Not that nice. Not that often. So we'll discuss that exercise and see if it applies to this year. We'll get into the list during hour two. Good news, Tim. Aaron Rodgers was back talking to McAfee. And
yay.
Wow. I want to discuss that with you because we got to get into that. Also, as mentioned, we'll get into the NBA draft during hour number two. We'll tell your story and then we'll get out of here. But I was thinking about this as yesterday we were trying to talk through it and you and I were talking about it on Friday. If you set aside the fact of, okay, blowouts, whatever, I just really am racking my brain and have struggled to think of a game 7 that felt less satisfying than that game did. Because it was just a weird thing to be watching. Because, like, I think about it in these terms. Obviously, the Halliburton injury clouds the entire game. But then on top of that, like, I don't know, I didn't feel better about OKC after the game. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they won, but like it, I just kept telling myself, like, it should be easier than this, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, the Halliburton injury is going to be a major what if in sports history, maybe for that entire franchise. Like, he's out for a whole year. It's not like he rolled his ankle and he's back to start the season.
And then they're going to have money questions because I believe, I want to say,
they have to re-sign Miles Turner.
Right, and I think the Turner deal is obviously a big part of it, and then Halliburton's going to be 40-something million dollars on IR.
So, yeah, I think when we look at what-ifs, this is going to be one, and then to your point about the sour taste in your mouth, look, I saw the takes that were out there on Monday. It wasn't surprising to me to see how people, diminished Oklahoma City. They've been wanting to kind of crap on this team because they kept getting told from the analytics crowd that this is one of the best teams ever, but they weren't going to buy in on it because they needed 7 games to beat the Nuggets. They needed 7 games to beat the Pacers. They would have lost, in air quotes, if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't get hurt. So, yeah, it leaves this kind of like sour taste in our mouth from that standpoint. I'm not of that. Look, you're a champion, man. Your path is your path. Like, I don't care that the Bucks didn't face the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals in 21. I don't care that they faced the Suns in the title, right? They're champs. But yeah, I think the Thunder are going to be an interesting team to be graded moving forward, and maybe history will look kindly on them, right? They go out and they win 3 titles, and then are like, okay, yeah, they were the real deal. If they go out and never win a title again, then maybe people are looking at them as, the worst champion of all time.
Yeah, and I'm not even necessarily saying that. I will say this, though. I did not feel like Sunday was the beginning of a dynasty.
I think it can be, and, I saw Jonathan Givony put this out there today, and I put it out on Twitter. Because watching the game, and look, I had a bet on SGA to win finals MVP. Because just a quick side note, very rarely will you hear me saying sportsbooks got it wrong. There's always a reason to the method. They were wildly inaccurate on the market on Sunday. The Thunder went off as a -265 favorite. And SGA was a -195 favorite to win NBA Finals MVP. Like, 10 cents difference? Okay, I could get it. 70 cents was just wrong. There was no way SGA
was it a Jalen Williams tax?
I guess. But Jalen Williams was 11-1 to win NBA Finals MVP. And, I saw a bunch of people on Twitter on game 5, it was like, I told you, Jalen Williams, 40-1. That was the bet to make. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. SGA scored 30.
Yeah, there was, like, and that's the other thing. Part
of Jalen Williams was awesome in game 5, and he was the best player in that particular game. It's a series. And the consistency was there from SGA. And
that was my whole deal with Jalen. It's like, yes, he had a couple of monster games. He also had games where you're like, where is he?
He was a -40 in game 6. So I had an SGA to win finals MVP bet, and I was sitting there and being like, please miss another 3. For the love of God, miss another 3. But what I'm intrigued by is this treasure trove, easy for me to say, of picks that the Thunder have. And at some point, and I know Sam Presti needs advice because he's not very good at his job, clearly.
He never won Executive of the Year until this year.
At some point, they're just going to get aggressive and say, screw it, we're going to make a move. And, like, what would that team look like if Trey Johnson was in their starting 5? What would that team look like if Con Knipple is in that starting 5? If they've got a lethal shooter, how many open looks do they get? And they just clanked them. Like, Alex Caruso was the calming force in that game, and he's not even that good of a 3-point shooter.
No, I mean, how many times did Lu Dort miss everything?
That dude.
But he lets it rip. I'll tell you one thing about Lu Dort, man.
That guy,
Swaggy P in him.
A confident fella.
He's letting it rip. But I don't know. I guess that was kind of the other aspect, because I was trying to think about it. Like, what would comps be for this team? And is it Toronto in 2019?
No, because their best player is going to be back.
Yeah, like that's what, but I'm talking about just the team. And is that maybe the case where it's like Toronto felt, I didn't feel as unsatisfied when Toronto won. Maybe it's also because they beat the Warriors, and even though Durant gets hurt, and they did not ask Bob Myers at halftime, how would you deal with somebody popping your Achilles in a finals game?
Well, we needed Stephen A. to be all disgruntled as they went to break.
Yeah, we had, and almost missed the break, so we needed all of that. But it's kind of the same thing, right?
Well, I'll say this. I don't agree, because remember, the Warriors also didn't have Klay.
Yep.
So they didn't have Klay or Kevin Durant in the finals, and then he comes back in game six and pops his Achilles. So I understand the comparisons, but it's also Tyrese Halliburton was not the favorite amongst the Pacers to win finals MVP. It was Pascal Siakam.
I mean, he didn't win Eastern Conference finals MVP.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing is, I guess the other, like, when I think back, is the most memorable thing of the finals Halliburton popping his Achilles? Because the other ones I was thinking about were the Siakam dunk in game six.
Yep.
And then maybe SGA.
The Halliburton game winner in game one.
Yeah, Halliburton game winner in game one. And then maybe SGA's fourth quarter in game four.
Yeah, I'd say there. I don't know if there's
like three of those things are Pacers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was like, there's clearly no chase down block. There's no, you know, iconic jumper like Jordan in 98. There's no, trying to think of some other memorable finals moments. I'm trying to think of what the most memorable moment, the problem about the Thunder, and not a real problem, but the problem about the Thunder is they just curb stomped everybody at home.
No, I mean,
and they were the best team in the NBA, so when you beat the living bleep out of everybody at home, you're going to win the championship.
Okay, so I'm with you, but I think this was part of, back to like the original question of the beginning of a dynasty. My whole deal is, I just don't know if you can have those home road splits, and I'm with you, like some of these guys, hey, they're going to get older, they're going to get more seasoned, but like I really did have this problem, it's like, man, if their offense, if they're not just getting fast breaks, their offense is just four guys standing around watching SGA.
It is. I'll say, as the theme is being unsatisfied, the offense for OKC is rather unsatisfying. And here's the thing, though. I don't want to say they're going to be a dynasty, because I'm
also
always,
not sure we're in that era right now.
Well, and I'm always just going to bank on, look, we haven't had a repeat champion since the Warriors, right?
Correct.
So, and we've had new champions.
Well, no, I mean, that was the stat going around this weekend. Adam Silver in 12 years has crowned nine teams as champion. David Stern in 30 years had crowned eight.
And Oklahoma City seems to be the most primed to do it, but you know, I don't want to put this out there in the ethers, but what if SGA gets hurt?
No, I mean, you know? That was kind of the other thing I was thinking about. It's like, I like, if you go back the last two teams, honestly, I think you could say the last three. When the Bucks pulled it off, I don't think a lot of people thought that would be Giannis's only title. And again, he's still got career left, and like there's still opportunities, because I would much rather be in the East. But when Denver had Jokic and Murray, you're thinking, oh, this could be...
That was the start of...
This
of
could be a run.
Yep.
And the same situation last year. You thought Boston was beginning a run. And, like, to me, with the Thunder, they are obviously a deserving champion. I thought they were the best team. Here they are. They're hoisting the trophy. But I'm just not as sold that this is, like, we're going to see, you know, three of the next four go through Oklahoma City.
I'm so curious to see, like, they, and it's a credit to them, they hit on so many things, right? The trade for Paul George netted them SGA, who turns out to be a top three player in the world. they draft a dude from Santa Clara with the 12th overall pick, and he's...
By the way, he was the third guy they drafted in that same draft.
They got Chet. That was a pretty safe selection, but if you remember, there was a thought that... I forget who it was who could go to.
Jabari.
Was it? Okay, yeah. So they made the right choice to get Chet. They had money to spend, and they go out and they get Hartenstein to add to their depth. They had a unique talent from a young age perspective in Josh Giddey, but he had fallen out of favor, and they're able to flip him for a great glue guy in Alex Caruso. So many things came together for them, and now, once again, I am more often than not going to bet against a dynasty because they don't come around all that often. But what if this kid, Nikola Topic, is legit, that they didn't even have to play this past year? What if they use their three picks this year in tomorrow's draft and then a couple future assets to go up and get a guy that could be a top five talent in this year's draft? Like, the crazy thing to me about this roster for now is that everybody's under contract. They have a lottery pick on their roster that did not play 1 second. And now they've got all this ammunition where, in theory, they could go be aggressive and get another young role piece that could add to them maybe from an offensive standpoint. Like, I think the thing that impressed me, and I know, you know, Halliburton getting hurt kind of shades everything, but they were shooting like absolute garbage. And they ended up dominating the game in the third quarter because of their defense. They came back on the road in game four against the Pacers because of their defense. And if you could add some pieces of offense from a consistency standpoint, that's where I'm like, damn, watch out. This team could be the real deal.
Yeah, I think the issue is they have 15 guys already under contract for next year. And again, to your point, I trust that Sam Presti could figure out a way around it. But I just wonder, we don't oftentimes see teams win a title and then be like, we got to shake it up. Even though maybe, I guess the one thing I would say is, it feels like if somebody does that, it's probably going to be Presti. But it just, that would be unusual.
Well, and what I don't know the answer to is Oklahoma City's ownership. Right? Are they going to, because they're going to get to the point, you had mentioned this already, where you think about Golden State, like their tax bill was like $500 million or something like that, wasn't it?
It was largely funded, though. I mean, that was part of the reason why they put the new arena in downtown.
No. Yeah, and they were fine paying it. I don't know about OKC's ownership. Like, are they going to be cool paying a enormous tax bill, or is there going to come a point where they'll be like, yeah, we won our title. Let's trim some of the fat here. But that's why they have 150 draft picks still.
They also have one more year to do it.
Right.
Like they would have one more year. We got your Wizards got aggressive. You ready for this?
Well, what do we do now?
All right. Sham Sharania reports that the Pelicans are trading CJ McConnell, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second to the Wizards for Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and number 40 on, I guess that would be Thursday, right?
Because that's... Yep. Okay. The trade swaps guards the Wizards, shifting from Poole to the veteran McCollum, who's an expiring contract. Washington now is expected to approach $100 million in projected cap space in 2026. Yeah, we've been here before, and that led this franchise to signing... who did they sign? Someone outrageous. It was the year of like Durant to the Warriors.
So was that
17?
That maybe 16
offseason?
The 2016 free agency.
Yeah. And I got to look up who they signed, but it was like Wizards got all this cap space and they signed some center for like $80 million. You're like, oh, that's going to work out well. So the Wizards now have a backcourt of Chris Middleton and CJ McCollum. Like, they're just going full-on tank again this year, aren't they?
All right, I was trying to see who did they... All right, I've got the 2016.
It was someone terrible. I remember that.
I'm trying to see, because the center's listed... Oh, was it Gortat?
Jan Mahimi.
Yeah.
4 years, $64 million.
I have no recollection of that guy's career.
4 years, $64 million. Jan Mahimi.
I mean, I guess, right, this is the idea of you're kind of... It seems like Washington is somewhat optimistic about the picks.
Washington and New Orleans, definitely top five most irrelevant franchises in the NBA. Just two franchises completely swimming in mediocrity. And what's going to come of this Zion stuff?
I don't know, because it feels like ownership's still not ready to give up.
I tell you what. A team of Chris Middleton. Is Marcus Smart still with the Wizards, or is he a free agent?
His contract's still, yeah, because I think he was going to be under contract next year.
That is going to be the most.
It was when the Grizzlies dealt him, he still had the following season on the contract.
That was the Grizzlies' justification for including the pick.
Was we don't want to have to pay that next year when we're going to have to re-up Jaren and make other moves, yeah.
So the Wizards have the Grizzlies' first-round pick this year.
Correct.
Think about what a random-ass team that is. You've now got C.J. McCollum, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, and then you've got the youngsters on that roster. Alex Saar was the second overall pick a year ago. Who else is on that roster from a young standpoint? The other French kid, Bilal Coulibaly, is on that roster. What a random-ass roster, man.
Did Kispert still get some minutes?
No, I thought he was hurt last year. I might not.
Because I had 1 year I talked myself into a Kispert trade when we were trying to figure out if the Grizzlies could get some more shooting.
This Wizards depth chart is actually wild.
It's hilarious.
Bob Carrington in there. Don't forget.
Bob Carrington was actually pretty good.
He was good last year.
We were laughing yesterday when the headline was Chris Middleton opts into his deal.
Shocking.
No duh. It's $33 million. Who else was going? If he didn't opt in,
don't forget they still have Malcolm Brogdon too.
Like who else was going to pay him $35 million?
Well, that's a running bit that Russillo does on his podcast. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and report this. He'll pick that one up. It's like Drew Holiday. He's owned like $50 million in like 2 years on a player option. I'm going to think he's going to pick that one up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. By the way, quick aside, because I'm not with you guys tomorrow. Figure it out, NBA. We're going to do it again, aren't we? Because the Houston pick on
Wednesday night. They will never figure it out.
Oh,
there's too many.
It's so dumb.
Because think about it. The NBA is like the prerequisite for being an executive is you had to be an attorney.
Got all these swaps left and right, second apron, all this stuff is so.
Can someone tell me why?
Can we just call it a hard cap? It's a hard cap.
Well, I think that I always think that that's PR driven. Whether it be the Players Association doesn't want to admit.
The 10th pick tomorrow night is not going to be Phoenix.
Like, who cares about the league rules? Let them wear a freaking hat of the team they're going to play for.
Right. Like, you've got a guy skipping out on a damn playoff game in Germany to come over to be at this draft. And there's a good likelihood that he's going to have a picture on his wall for the rest of his life wearing the wrong damn hat.
Yeah, it's also Bundesliga. It's not even like FIBA. It's not even like the Champions League. Come on. All right, let's talk some college football. We'll do that next. We're gonna sort through and see if we could learn anything from the playoff teams last year's selection. Who should we be keeping an eye on that's off the radar? I want to discuss that with Tim next. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN.
All right, Tim. We've been trying to make a habit of it as we now are approaching, for sure, like talking about football season, trying to talk a little ball each and every show. Okay, so I was thinking about it in these terms. If we take the 12 playoff teams from last year, we've got Oregon, who was preseason number 3, expected to be there. Georgia, preseason 1, expected to be there. Boise State, as we talked about, it's a little bit more complicated because it wasn't just necessarily Boise State wins out and was going to be there, but I believe
they were the betting favorite to be the Group of 5 representative last year.
Because I think Memphis was 3rd, but I don't recall if Tulane was ahead of them.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, UNLV was coming off of a decent season.
I'm pretty sure it was Tulane. I think it was.
I think that sounds
right. I think it was Tulane, but I can't remember if I'm confusing you.
It wasn't anyone from the MAC. I think it was Boise and then probably Memphis, Tulane, in some form or fashion.
Yeah, because I don't really.
And then I think UNLV maybe.
And that sounds right, but like, you know, I mean, hey, UNLV changed quarterbacks week 4. That was
to a better quarterback.
No, never forget.
And that was one of the best bets of the entire year. When everyone was freaking out all week, oh, the UNLV, this is a disgrace. How could they do this? I'm like, the guy wasn't that good. And
they called us bluff.
Haj Malik Williams is better. And lo and behold, they won by like a bajillion over Fresno State.
Okay, so Texas, preseason 4, expected to be there.
Yep.
Penn State, preseason 8, expected to be there. Notre Dame was preseason 7. I think they were still favored to get in, right?
Yeah, I believe they were a slight favorite to get in. Yep.
Ohio State was 2. So expected to be there. So that leaves Arizona State, Tennessee, Indiana, SMU, and then the weird one is Clemson, because Florida State was still picked to win the ACC.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's insane. And so Florida State was picked to win the ACC, then Clemson, Miami, NC State, Louisville, and Virginia Tech before you got to SMU at 7. So I think if you applied some context, SMU was probably wildly undervalued. But also, I think you have to remember this. They kind of had to make a quarterback change too. Remember, you and I were watching that Nevada game to open the season, and they were still rolling with Preston Stone. And it's like, I'm not sure if this is going to work. And then they really turned to Jennings during the BYU game, and he took over.
Yeah, I remember doing, you know, all the preseason prep and looking at SMU's schedule. They had, in the non-con, they got BYU, and we didn't know how good BYU ultimately would be, and they lost that game on a Friday night, and we were like, SMU, they're not that good. And then BYU ends up being pretty darn good, and SMU ran the table until the ACC championship from there. They beat TCU, and then the big question was their ACC opener was Florida State.
Yep.
And they won that game. They killed them. And then they won on the road. I mean, I would say this. Looking back at their schedule, which did not have Clemson, did not have Miami, I think maybe we need to give them a little more credit for beating Louisville on the road. That's a tough win.
It was a tough win, and I believe Louisville wound up going off as the favorite that day.
Yes,
I think you and I were on Louisville, and
I'll look it up, I think.
I feel like we were. It was one of those games where SMU like just kind of had a 2-touchdown lead, then like Louisville would make it a 1-score game, but SMU would score right back. Like I agree with you. I think that was a pretty good
Louisville
win.
Louisville went off as a touchdown favorite.
Yeah. And I remember thinking like, okay, this is
this is where it ends.
This is a loser. So the point being that I bring all this up is, okay, how many teams do we feel comfortable saying right now, when we wake up in December, maybe they're not a top four seed or whatnot, but they're going to be on the bracket?
Well, if you just want to use betting odds, there are eight teams that are favored to make the playoff right now.
All right, let me see if I can do them.
All right, hold on. Let me just double check to make sure I have it in front of me so we can get it right. Okay, go.
All right, Ohio State.
Yes.
Georgia.
Yes.
Texas.
Yes.
Oregon.
Yep.
Okay, this is where it starts to get interesting. Bama.
Yep.
Okay, so I forgot an obvious one. Penn State.
Yep. So you've got the six top ones. So Ohio State -500, Texas -350, Penn State and Oregon -300, Georgia -250, Alabama -200. Two more right now at DraftKings are favored to make the playoff.
All right, I'll say Clemson.
Yep. 7-7.
Okay, no one's going to be in the Big 12. I don't think Boise's going to be.
They're not.
All right, who I said from the Big 10, I said Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon.
Yep, from the Big 10. Do you want me to give you any hints or no?
No, I want to see if I can do it because it's 7-8. It's like finish the job, finish the play.
Man, you're perfect. 7-7.
Oh, God.
Don't think too hard.
I know this is the thing. It's like I'm doing the move of, it's like, is it, I don't think, is it LSU?
Nope, close. They're the shortest from a underdog standpoint. LSU +125. So they are the first outside of the eight that are favored.
Because it's not going to be anyone in the Big 12. Did I say Miami?
They're not it.
Okay. All right. You missed two. Oh, Notre Dame. Oh, duh. I've made the mistake of going through conferences.
Yep. Notre Dame -190. So, yeah, eight teams are favored to make the playoff. Ohio State, Texas, those are the two shortest, if you will. Penn State, Oregon, Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson. I just want to point this out real quickly because you do have DraftKings in Tennessee. If you don't like one of those teams, you can bet the no.
Yeah.
You get it at plus money. So, like, I'm not convinced Oregon. Now, the schedule's not really daunting, but, like, of the eight, the one that I'm like, I'm not really there on Oregon. They lost a lot.
They lost a lot, and I keep wondering if Dante Moore is, like, going to be new Anthony Richardson.
So here's the thing about the eight teams that are favored to make the playoff. If you include Arch Manning into the, I don't know, how would you classify Arch Manning? Is he, I know what he's going to be, or is he question mark or somewhere in the gray area?
Can I go steakhouse style question mark plus?
Okay, that's fair, because Ohio State question mark, Oregon question mark, Georgia question mark, Alabama question mark, Notre Dame question mark at the quarterback position. Five of those eight, or five and a half of those eight, if you throw in Arch Manning, have question marks at the quarterback position. But if they hit, then the ceiling could be really high for a Notre Dame, for a Bama, for a Georgia.
I know you and I have talked about this. I really think the highest ceiling, if the quarterback hits, is Alabama.
I agree. I 100% agree.
What's Miami's schedule?
So they open up against Notre Dame at home, and they have Florida on the schedule. I'm pulling it up right now.
I thought I had it. Okay, here we go.
It's Notre Dame, where they're a short home dog. They play Florida at home September 20th, bye week at FSU, bye week home to Louisville, and then the back end is at SMU, Syracuse, NC State, at Virginia Tech, at Pitt. So no Clemson on the schedule for Miami.
But presumably they got to win one of the two Notre Dame-Florida games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then presumably, like, if they were 11-1, and that's a big if, trusting Cristobal to not find a loss somewhere where he should is an exercise in futility. Could they get in at 11-1 and losing to Clemson in the title game?
If they're 11-1, I think they're in. And because they would have been in last year at, what were they? They were 11-1 last year, and I think the consensus was they would be in no matter what in the ACC championship.
Yeah. I kind of...
That opener is huge. Notre Dame-Miami. I mean, you've got two elite line of scrimmage teams, and it's kind of what you think of the unknown at quarterback in CJ Carr and the kind of forgotten quarterback in Carson Beck.
Yeah, I still have Beck stock, so...
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I thought that David Hale article that we referenced a couple weeks ago was kind of telling of...
I just felt like when you watch Georgia play, Beck was getting all the blame, and hey, that comes with it. And again, Beck's personality lends himself to that.
Their wide receivers were terrible.
They were god awful. I mean, that
and
interception
running,
at the end of the
running game
was not existent.
Too.
And then their left tackle was just a revolving door. Like, come on through. Like, I don't know. I'm not as down on him. Okay, so who would be some candidates in the out of nowhere? Because I'd referenced this. Are you ready for what the Big 12 preseason poll was?
I saw it, so I'm not going to give it away. I was there. I went to Big 12.
Yeah,
because
it was in Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what? Vegas, Big 12 country.
I mean, you know what was so funny about last year's Big 12 media days? Because, you know, all of the, with all due respect, bloggers were there. And some of them are great and, you know, professional. But I just remember there was this dude from Kansas State. And maybe he had a couple sodas. Because we were sitting at the Circus Sportsbook. And he's like...
Oh, was this the guy that was trying to shove...
He's like, tell me why Avery Johnson isn't going to win the Heisman Trophy. I'm like, I don't know.
I've seen him throw.
Because he's Avery Johnson and it's Kansas State and no one ever has won the Heisman Trophy from there and they're still Kansas State. But yeah, it was like aggressive. And I just remember being next to, I think I was sitting next to Brett McMurphy and me and him are like, what is happening right now? Can this guy stop?
Okay.
Yes. Do you want to tell the people 1 through 16?
Number one was Utah. Now, Utah went through the Cam Rising drama and then retirement, although I think he just retired.
They went 5-7, 2-7 in conference play.
Correct. Kansas State went 5-4 in league play, 9-4. They finished in a tie for 8th place. Oklahoma State was picked 3rd in the Big 12.
Oklahoma they went winless.
State, 0 for the Big 12. Kansas, everybody's darling, because Lance Leipold answers media people's text messages. Kansas was picked 4th. The Jayhawks went 5-7, 4-5, but they did, of course, famously cover against BYU, outright winner for Tim. They also lost, what was it, like 6 games by a possession?
Yeah, they were the most unlucky team all year. And then then they got on a winning streak in their final week of the season. Everyone was like, well, they have to win in order to get to bowl eligibility. And then they got smoked.
Number 5 was Arizona. Arizona finished 2-7 in the league, 4-8 overall. Iowa State, who was in the title game, was picked 6th. They, of course, got smoked by a billion by Arizona State. West Virginia was picked 7th. They fired their coach. UCF was picked 8th. Their coach decided to go call offensive plays for Florida State. Texas Tech was 9th. I'd say that's kind of they finished
right.
Like said that they finished about there. TCU was picked 10th. They finished in a tie with Texas Tech, so that was about right. Colorado was picked 11th. They finished in a 4-way tie for 1st, but they were not the representative in the championship game. BYU was picked 13th, also finished in a tie for 1st. Cincinnati, I guess you could argue that was about right. They were picked 14th. Houston picked 15th, and Arizona State was famously picked 16th out of 16. I got to say, though, I think of all the leagues that you would ask me to fill out a preseason poll, the one I would have to conscientiously object from is the Big 12, because who the hell knows? Like, none of the teams are, no one has a drastic talent advantage, and they're always like, the games are always just nuts.
Well, look at the betting board real quickly, all right? So as we look at the conference championship odds, ACC, Clemson is plus 115. AAC, Tulane is plus 280. Big Ten, Ohio State, these are the favorites, plus 195. And then Penn State and Oregon are not too far behind, all under 3-1. Conference USA, Liberty plus 140. The MAC, Toledo and Ohio are both under 3-1. Mountain West, Boise State minus 130. SEC, Texas plus 250. Big 12, your betting favorite, Kansas State and Arizona State at both plus 550.
And you can over, if you want to shop around, you can go over to FanDuel and you can get plus 600.
Exactly. It is, I said it last year that the Big 12 was going to be my favorite conference of college football, and I think I'll say it again. I think it's going to be wildly fascinating this year.
All right. So the exercise is this. You have to pick the Big 12's representative.
Oh, Utah. Devin Dampier, baby. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. It's my squad. Utah. Give me two.
Okay, I want to see. All right, what is their league schedule?
Texas Tech at West Virginia. Arizona State, both coming off a bye. At BYU, Holy War.
Rich Rod. Oh, God.
Yeah, at West Virginia, that'll be weird. Colorado, Cincinnati, at Baylor, Kansas State, and Kansas. So they don't really, they get West Virginia, who is expected to be the worst team. They don't get Arizona, who that's going to be, I think, a disaster.
Yeah.
They don't get Oklahoma State, who probably will bounce back because I believe in Gundy. So
they have to go to BYU.
Yeah, that'll be tough. Jake Retzlaff's pretty good. By the way, real quickly, look at the quarterbacks in that conference. You know, I mentioned that of the top eight betting favorites to make the playoff and win the title, you've got questions at like five or five and a half of those quarterback positions. Big 12 sneaky pretty awesome at quarterback.
Is it sneaky awesome at quarterback, or is it sneaky bad at defense?
Well, I'll run through the quarterbacks, and most of these guys, you know who they are. Now, once again, I'm in love and infatuated with Devin Dampier, the New Mexico transfer, so I'm a bit partial there. But Kansas State, Avery Johnson. Underwhelming last year, but, you know, tell me why he's not going to win the Heisman just a year ago. Sam Leavitt at Arizona State.
I believe in him.
Barrett Morin, is it Morton? Barron Morton.
It's pronounced Barron.
Texas Tech.
But you know he's going to miss three games at some point.
For sure. Sawyer Robertson, I think wildly underrated, Baylor. Jake Retzlaff, BYU. Josh Hoover, TCU. Rocco Becht, Iowa State.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I have some shorts on Rocco, and I begrudgingly do that because I think his dad's a really nice man. He's come on the show, and like you kind of want to root for him. I really worry when Iowa State loses multiple NFL receivers.
Yeah, they lost, what, 2 second-round picks, right?
Yeah.
How about Jalen Daniels is still there at Kansas?
Good for him.
Yeah. I am not a big Caden Salter fan, but...
He's there.
Liberty transfer goes to Colorado. They also got a five-star kid. I forget his name.
He's from Georgia. He's played at like 17 different schools. It's Red Flag Central.
The kid Sorsby from, is that Cincinnati? He's
still
not bad.
Good for him.
Yeah. So I just look at it. Connor Wegman at Houston.
Who did Rich Rod pick up?
Hold on.
Who is Rich Rod going to run 150 times on quarterback counter?
Nico Markiel. He was on the roster last year.
Is Garrett Green finally out of... Has he finished his 12th and final?
Garrett Green is gone. Also, Noah Fifita is still at Arizona.
Yeah.
Maybe Jed Fish had was... Yeah, I will say this. As I watched last year with Arizona when they still had Tet McMillan and they were an absolute train wreck, I'm like, maybe Jed Fish was a pretty good coach.
Yeah, maybe he knew what he was...
Maybe we should buy more stock in Damon Williams because he's pretty good and Noah Fifita did not look good without Jed Fish.
All right, what does Baylor have? They have weird...
Schedule-wise? They have a huge game against Auburn right
on Friday. Then they play SMU the next week at SMU.
Sandwich spot.
Then they get Samford, Arizona State at home, at Oklahoma State, Kansas State at home, at TCU, at Cincinnati, or UCF at home, Utah, at Arizona, Houston. All right, I think I'm tossing out Baylor.
You get Utah at home. That's helpful.
All right.
Kansas State at home.
I'm going to believe the Kansas. There's something about TCU. George doesn't like Hoover. I kind of think the guy can spin it.
If he doesn't, well, once again, I'll reference the Hale article. If Hoover doesn't turn the ball over, he's a damn good quarterback.
He completed 66.5% of his passes, throwing at 8.4 yards per throw.
I'd say the tricky part about TCU is their schedule. They have Arizona State on the road, Kansas State on the road, BYU on the road.
Okay.
So that's tricky. And they play Baylor.
Well, but here's the other thing that we always forget, though, with the Big 12. Nobody's running the table. So the question is, how many losses can you have and still be in the title game?
Two.
Yeah. Maybe you're Utah. Maybe you're Utah. My only problem with Dampier is my guy's not very big.
It's all right, baby. We got an elite offensive line in front of him, baby.
All right. The other point of this exercise is who are the out of nowheres? Because who's the Indiana this year?
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? Someone's going to be like, Illinois. Well, Illinois is a preseason top 25 team. They're 5-1 to make the playoff. Indiana was 100-1 to make the playoff last year.
I'm doing this strictly on vibes, and I believe in my guy. I've kind of looked at Michigan State.
All right, you got to sell me on that one.
All right. Jonathan Smith, year two.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Smith.
He is a excessively competent coach. Aiden Childs has been kind of a turnover machine, but he's at a certain point now where it's like it's year three. This is usually when guys that – and he's now in year two with the same guys. And here's their schedule. Western Michigan, BC, Youngstown State. Then they get USC on the road week four, bye week. At Nebraska – UCLA, at IU, Michigan, at Minnesota, Penn State, at Iowa, Maryland. So you have no Ohio State there and no Oregon. Yes, you get Michigan and Penn State, but I swear, I think if you give me the four, and I know what we just said about Oregon, I'd still rather play Penn State and Michigan than Ohio State and Oregon. Would you agree with that?
You'd rather play... Repeat that.
I'd rather play Penn State and Michigan as my top of the league than play Ohio State and Oregon.
Debatable on the Oregon part, Oregon and Penn State, but regardless, I will allow it.
I think James Franklin can lose a head scratcher in the regular season fairly frequently.
No, he's pretty good against teams he's supposed to beat. It's the teams that have a number by them in single digits where he struggles.
All right, Nebraska's another one, but I do not trust cosplay Mahomes.
I want to say Washington.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.